Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. This evening, I am your host, Roski Mascani, and we have Professor Amin Rod, and our guest is Professor Ife Jai, extraordinaire rapper. So she's been on twice, and we always have a good time with her. She teaches at LA Trade Tech College. She's a Black Studies professor. And she also has a radio show. She could tell you about that. I've been on there. It's a great show on KPFK 90.7. She'll give you more details about that. And so I'm going to turn it over to Professor Jai. Jai, I don't know why I always
you
get
got
the
it
name.
Right, Jai.
Jai,
You said it perfect.
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna turn it over to her, and we're gonna look at a video that she. Do you want to play the whole video?
I do, and let me set us up first. So, again, to the Community Education Network. You know, I love being able to be on this platform. I was just expressing to Professor Rod that y'all have done some really magical things with the guests that you've had on here. So I'm very honored to be here in this space with you all. So I wanted to have a conversation today and explore this topic because it's a hot topic right now of graffiti art. Everybody that, first and foremost, y'all know that my passion is hip hop culture, is hip hop music, is hip hop scholarship. And one of the hot topics in Los Angeles right now is graffiti art. And I'll tell more about the current issue that's happening in downtown Los Angeles. But first, I wanted to begin a conversation about graffiti art by making sure that everybody's clear about what it is. And then once we are understanding what it is, then we can talk about is graffiti art in our current circumstance of this downtown LA building, is this vandalism or is this creative expression? And so let's go ahead and get into the video so that we can all be on the same page about the history and some of the highlighted moments of graffiti.
All different parts of the world in one form or another, whether it was, you want to consider the cave paintings in Lascaux on down. People, by the time they had walls, they were writing on them. Early in the United States, beginning really in the antebellum years, people began to write on boxcars and that would roll from coast to coast. In the hobo years of the Depression, that became even more prominent. There was always gang graffiti dating back to the 30s and 20s in Los Angeles and other parts of California, the Southwest. There was name-based graffiti all over the place. There was Kilroy was here, which actually sprung out of a suburb of Boston, oddly enough, and became this kind of global icon for the Greatest Generation. But when this odd combination of name and fame came together in the late 1960s in both Philadelphia and New York, it really exploded. And what was so magical and so important in the history of American graffiti were the years really 1971 to 1975 in New York. And what happened was a generation of kids, and it's really important to remember that. These were kids. There was almost nobody over the age of 19 involved in this. Developed a whole art form that went from a simple signature, just Joe was here kind of thing, all the way up to a mural that covered the entire side of a subway car. And this was something that had just never been seen in art history before, an entire movement just completely developed by kids.
Graffiti art is bigger than it's ever been. It keeps getting bigger, no matter what rules and laws the cities create. There'll always be the next batch of young kids that just want to go out and write on things.
We all who have that inner kid in us still can retain that appeal of what graffiti is, this just amazing amount of line and color that is in a public space. And then just the whole, how did they do that kind of factor. Graffiti is the rock and roll of visual art. It came from America and it spread throughout the world. It took over the world. There have been very few American art forms that have lasted as long as graffiti, whether you're talking abstract expressionism or anything. The heyday of those periods was really maybe a decade at best in some cases. graffiti keeps going after 40 years. And now that there's a public interest in graffiti, you have to capture that moment as historians.
I realized there really was no book that really told me what the history of Pittsburgh was, that told me what the history of Oregon was, what the history of Boston was. There were little bits and pieces out there, but it wasn't there. And so many of these people are disappearing, dying, photos are disappearing, getting trashed. And it was time, while graffiti, in a way, it's so hot right now and so popular, to start digging all these people up from all these scenes and really tell the story.
When we started to make the History of American Graffiti, we wanted to highlight all of the entire picture of it. A lot of the books had come out and they had taken a small bite of this. So we decided to basically swing as hard as we could and do what we could. And just that was a tough thing to do, of course, but it involved binding hundreds of people and getting them to get their old shoe boxes down of all these old photographs. And you have to remember, in early years of graffiti, adults were not taking pictures of this stuff. They were removing it.
Everyone will tell you a different answer to if their goal of writing graffiti is to become famous and go into a gallery, or if their goal is just to write their name as many places as they can and get better at it and better at it and, paint more trains, paint more walls, paint more freeway signs. Everyone has a different reason. Graffiti's real explosion into the gallery and art world started in New York in the early 80s. And it was the cool new thing to buy. That whole movement definitely was the real early gallery movement where graffiti artists were able to transfer their works into the gallery and make a living from it, and some of them still are. Graffiti, at its purest, at its rawest, at its best, and the true definition of graffiti, is illegal. Illegal art on a wall, for me, that's what it means. It works best on the street, it works best under a bridge, it works best on a train rolling by you. And that's what it is. It's great that it's so much of it's been documented and you can show its historical relevance through different cities and different movements, but bringing it into galleries and museums is hard to do. But there's several artists that dozens, hundreds, probably thousands that have, made the transformation from things they've learned on the street and been able to bring it into galleries and into museums and still make their work as exciting, if not more exciting, than it was on the street because of the extended mediums they have to work in and the time they have to do it.
For artists that work both indoors and outdoors as they grow older, whether it's in galleries or museums, there is a difference, of course, but it's a question of audience it's a change in audience. And then the other thing is that working indoors, there are some good things to that. You can do things like make more money. You can do things like not have to have your stuff be taken down by weather or the elements or, a vigilant graffiti buff. So there's pluses and minuses. You get to spend more time on it. You get to work on projects you couldn't do out in the street. So they're basically just two different creatures. But the thing is that graffiti tends to attract some incredibly talented people who have incredibly big ambitions, You can't just go in and think you're going to do a little bit if you have to go whole hog. And the people who go into graffiti and they want to go inside, they tend to have good ideas on the inside as well, and very big ambitions.
If you're a really good graffiti artist, you're going to work with your setting. You're going to look at the city differently. You're going to see a rooftop. You're going to see a spot someone else might not have seen, and you're going to work with the city. So if you're really good at that and really good at choosing your color palettes and making that work, there's a good chance you're going to become a better artist at the same time, because you're going to have the same train of thought when you're working in a studio.
It's always hard to get kids or young people at all, or just anybody, into museums, into galleries. It's hard to get people through the door. That's the constant challenge. And then once you have them there, you have to present them with something that is going to captivate them. And that's hard. Now, it's also very hard to get your name 40 feet tall or 40 feet long on the side of a bridge abutment while a train whizzes by. But a lot of people see that. And it's a funny little fact, it's a funny little inconvenient truth of museums that the facade of the museum will always be seen by more people than the inside and the art within. And graffiti writers, well, they're not dumb, they recognize that. And they work in public spaces because they can be seen there.
All right, beautiful. And thank you guys for your patience. I really wanted to play the entire video because there are so many different nuanced things that come up in that video. The first thing that I want to make sure that I say is that this is a conversation about hip hop. And today we're going to focus, as you may know, that there's many elements within hip hop culture. Just very briefly, there are five core elements. We identify them as rapping. We identify them as breakdancing. We identify them as DJing or beatboxing. We identify them as graffiti art, and we identify it as knowledge of self. And then a part of my work and my research is to add and to offer a sixth element, which I call hustling, okay? Entrepreneurship and hustling. And so within the context of hip hop, there are many modalities of expression. And I want to just center the conversation that hip hop is supposed to be the outlet for the voiceless to be able to find voice, for those who are unseen to be now be put in the center and be seen. It is a space for us to be able to express our disdain, our disenfranchisement, our discomfort, our disagreements with the government and the systems that we exist in. Hip hop is supposed to have always an element of activism. And I always encourage people to remember that because we've lost that over the times, over the years, in the 50 years that hip hop has been in existence. And so one of the things that, I offer with my movement as a hip hop artist, as a hip hop scholar, as a hip hop activist, is to engage in what I refer to as a street Sankofa. And that is the moment where we stop and we look back to the history of hip hop and be very intentional about understanding the history so that we can know how we want to move forward in the culture. And you all know, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but I want to say that the Ghanaian concept of Sankofa literally means to go back and to get it, to go back and to fetch it. And it's re represented by an Adinkra symbol of a bird that literally has her head, her neck is turned towards her back. And so this concept of Sankofa is not anything that's new and it's nothing that I created, but I use that concept and I apply it to hip hop. And so I call it a street Sankofa of being able to look back at our culture. And so we can be very intentional how we want to move forward in the future. And so today we're going to focus on the element of graffiti. Because right now in the city of Los Angeles, graffiti is a hot topic. If you go downtown, there's a large development, a large building. I want to say it's a series of maybe two or three buildings that are being developed. And these buildings are supposed to be used. Thank you. Yes, perfect. These buildings, were initially started by a group of Chinese investors. And this group of Chinese investors decided to build some really fancy housing right in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. And in the course of their development, what my research has shown is that, or what the news has reported rather, is that they ran out of money in the course of developing this building. That's a beautiful example of a Sankofa bird. Thank you, Rashiki. That's awesome. And as y'all see with the bird that he's showing you, it literally is a bird with her neck turned around. And that becomes the Adinkra symbol of going back and getting it. So the is
Here.
in the midst of being built. And the Chinese investors, they lose money. And so are they don't have enough money to finish the development. And so the building literally is at a standstill. It's at a standstill. Nobody is there to be able to finish the development. And it's at a standstill for quite some time. I believe one of the things I read is that it was a couple years that the building was just abandoned, mid-construction. And so a group of graffiti artists gathered together, organize themselves, and go to this building. And they tag, they mark. I think it's over 30 something floors on this building. They mark the building floor by floor by floor by floor. And they really do bring attention to this building with their graffiti art. And some people, and this is our conversation, the conversation today, is it graffiti art or is it vandalism? Because in this moment of them using their graffiti art modality to express themselves, they bring a huge light to these buildings that have been underdeveloped. And the city goes crazy. Los Angeles responds in a variety of ways. One of the things that they do is they immediately board the building up. They don't want anybody else to go back in there. Another thing that they do, they hold a very impromptu LA City Council meeting, and they demand that the investors clean up the graffiti, not finish the development, but clean up the graffiti. Because for those who are Los Angelinos who are in the administration realm, they feel that it is an eyesore. So they command these developers to clean the building up. And then the conversation started to turn into, well, what are we going to do with the building? Are we going to finish developing the building? What are we going to do? And so one of the mayoral candidates, Rick Caruso, he goes on to the news networks and he is talking about his perspective of this building project. And one of the things that he shares is that the building project, it's so much of a to-do to finish the building that nobody wants to invest in its completion. Because by the time they finish completing the property, the value of the property would have decreased. And it would not be an economic benefit for somebody to invest in the completion of this building. And so the city is literally at a standstill about this building. And this is what we need to talk about. There's a irony in this moment because, as I mentioned before, graffiti art is one of the modalities that the youth, that those of us who are voiceless, find voice. And so, as we notice in the city of Los Angeles, houselessness is an epidemic here. There are people literally living on sidewalks. There are people living on bus stops. There are people living in encampments made of plywood and tarp and ropes and cardboard and all manner of things. And so, this is one of those moments of using their voice, their modality, their art to bring attention to this contradiction that here it is, we have people in need of housing, and yet there's housing that exists that is not even being completed, and not even the conviction to provide this housing to those of us who need it most. At one point, Rick Caruso offered that the housing be given to the workforce community, the firefighters, the police, maybe even the teachers who are in need of housing. But the short of it is that without the graffiti art, we would not be having a conversation about these buildings, nor would we be addressing the inconsistencies of the city, recognizing that houselessness is a problem, but not being mindful of the housing developments that are being established right here in the heart of Los Angeles. And so the conversation that I wanted to have today was, what do we use this graffiti art for? Is it just art or is it vandalism? Is it vandalism? And so as we take a street Sankofa today and we look at just the history of graffiti, you see that graffiti has always been used throughout time. People have used graffiti art in so many different eras with so many different intentions. It's a part of us being human and being creative to write on walls, to write on our homes, to decorate our buildings. And in fact, those of us who are scholars of African history, and especially in the area of architecture and design, you will see so much of our culture has used art to decorate our spaces. One of the best examples and most obvious example is the use of the hieroglyphics to use symbol and symbolism to decorate our most precious spaces. And so we see with graffiti art that that is no more than just an extension of our natural human desire to express ourselves. We also see within that video that graffiti art, as one of the gentlemen says, is the rock and roll of art. Graffiti art, and I would almost say it's the hip hop of art, but graffiti art is edgy. It is, and at its best, seen on public spaces like trains and buildings. And I think one of the gentlemen said that what's ironic about museums is that there will always be more people that see the outside of the museum versus people who see the inside of the museum. And so that also is very curious because as artists who use graffiti art, we are guaranteed to be seen. We are guaranteed to be seen. And so I want to, and I'm grateful for everybody to who's joined in on this conversation because I don't want to just talk. I wanted to have a conversation. And based off of our understanding of the history of hip hop and the way that it's being used right now in the city of Los Angeles to bring attention to issues of houselessness and even economic issues in terms of putting our money in places that are actually making sense for our community and our society. I'm curious to see what you all think. And so the question that I'm posing today, as we go on this journey of looking back on the culture of graffiti art, do we think that graffiti art is just that art? Or is it absolutely vandalism? And should we be pushing back on graffiti artists who do things like make murals or tag their name on spaces that don't belong to them? And I want to make a distinction. I'm not talking about gang bang culture where the writing is on the wall and the neighborhood that you come into and you see the name of the tribe that runs that territory. That also is graffiti, right? When I drive down Figueroa in 80 something, I might get a welcome to the 80 something block on one of the buildings that I see. And the tribe that runs that territory will let it be known, this is our territory. And we X out all who are in opposition to us, right? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about graffiti art, people who have taken the time to literally create visual pieces that are there to stimulate our minds, there to give us something to think about, there to announce themselves as being present. And we see that in a variety of ways, especially in the streets of Los Angeles. It's a part of the culture here in LA, the mural culture. One of the things I do want to also have us consider is that at certain spaces, we rely on graffiti art to tell our stories. And so when Kobe and Nipsey died, there's a beautiful mural right on the corner of Obama Boulevard and La Cienega. And it's a really, really well done mural of Kobe and Nipsey Hussle. In fact, we see several murals emerge in the city of Los Angeles because of Nipsey Hussle and Kobe Bryant. And so mural culture is absolutely a part of our identity as Los Angelinos. And so let's talk about it. I'm not sure how much time we have, but I would love to engage in a dialogue with everyone because I think what I want us to do is be very intentional with how we move forward with using graffiti art as a part of our liberation, as a part of us finding voice in our community. So what do y'all think? Is graffiti art art
Okay,
or is it vandalism?
let's go to Professor Roth. Let's get started.
Appreciate what you asked if I understand correctly. Again, I want to thank you for coming on. It's a very thin line between graffiti art and vandalism. It's a very thin line. The history of people drawing before, they used to draw on themselves. In Africa,
Right.
for ethnic distinction, they had various forms of distinctions in painting. The Native American painted themselves. They had a
Yeah.
message in it. They had a message in it, though.
Yeah.
War paint, puberty. There were different ways because language was not as fluid as it is today. So they used signs and symbols to notify you that the water was messed up, to notify
Yeah.
you that there was danger or quicksand. They left signs in different ways. When it comes down to graffiti art from the standpoint of the distinction between a mural and graffiti, it is because most people, just like the word love is misused, graffiti is misused
Okay.
from that standpoint. When you paint on somebody's building that's not yours or not your yard, I got a brother named Marvin. He had a mural put on his fence in his backyard of black heroes and heroines. That's okay.
Yeah.
But like if you operate in a business and somebody come and they don't paint Kobe or Nipsey or who they put gang signs up. And then and it's really embedded in territorial as you say, letting people know who's here, and then letting people to know that or they diss it. They come by and they scratch it out.
Right.
When I'm talking juvenile hall in the uprising of the Crips and the Bloods, if they were in school, I was teaching in juvenile hall at one time. I taught there for about 3 years. The kids would carve a C if they were a Crip, or carve a B. They also would draw it, but they would carve it in.
Wow.
And then every book that had a C in it, a blood would cross the C out. And every book that had a B in it, the Crips would cross it out. And then when they walked, I didn't understand why they made the people put their hands behind them or in their pockets. So my first year, I'm saying, hey, y'all human, you're my brother, young brothers, and so I told them they didn't have to do it.
Right.
Woo! Boy, they were fighting all the way because they'd do a sign and throw it down and step on it. I didn't know what was going on. They'd do a Crip sign. So I said, hey, put your hand in your pocket. I understood. And I
Right.
think that vandalism is when you're using it for the purposes of proliferating violence or conflict between each other and things of this nature. I see that. Now, the beauty of what you're talking about, murals, that's a whole new different thing to me. I wouldn't call a mural graffiti. I call that art.
Okay.
Because they take their time. Now, drawing on trains, drawing on other the skyscraper that you was talking about, well, really, that belonged to those Asians that couldn't get the money to finish the building.
Right.
And City Councilman Chacon, he's up for re-election. He's the one that spearheaded the effort to get it down because I think it was close to where the Lakers play and Crypto
Yeah,
Stadium. Yeah.
it is.
And
Yeah.
they didn't want it for that reason. Because they had
Right.
laughed at it. It had been up there for years. But all
Right.
of a sudden, people got complaining and they talking about bringing the Olympics here. And
Right. Yeah.
there's some things going on. But like, I wanted you to just in form of a question. You said there were five things. The last one was hustle. I got rapper, breakdance, disc jockey, but there was a two in between that.
Graffiti art and knowledge of self.
Oh yeah, knowledge of self, graffiti art. Okay.
Yeah. And I get that from KRS-One
Knowledge.
because he does the complete he does the complete list, the complete five.
Yeah,
That's
and
and
that's
he offers others as well, but those are the core.
And even on album covers, they used to put some strange things on it when they used to have albums. You know, I
Yeah.
remember The Devil's Dope, and they changed it to I forget, not Drama Four, but it was nothing. They changed it from the Dramatics changed the album from The Devil Is Dope to something else. But anyway, so I mean, it's a mixed bag. You know, like I said, I'm glad you're studying it, and as you said, but I think that some art is Sankofa.
Okay, yeah.
Some art. But not all of it. You know, some of it is about, I'm gonna get you tomorrow. And so, but I think that it needs to be, I say, because there's a book by, and I think Brother Historian Joe who's on could talk about a book called Signs and Symbols of Premortal Man, by Albert Churchward. That he talked about the various symbols that people used to communicate back in the day. But this is a great topic. I love the topic. I love the discussion and the conversation. And it's very challenging because
Yeah.
you see beauty in a message, and I do too in some of it. I mean, some of it is fantastic, you know. I mean, what they do down on those things that drain the water, with the rain, the water reservoirs. Man, they got some beautiful art down there sometimes. But then again,
Yeah.
they got some crazy stuff down there, skulls and it depends on the territory. You will
Yeah.
find a lot of graffiti art. Are a mural specifically in East LA in the Latino community.
Yeah.
People have died erasing people messages on, gangs. They catch them and they
Yes, they
shoot
have.
them. Yeah,
Yes, they
so
have.
it's a dangerous thing when you are out there not doing art. But dissing and communicating different and but anyway, I'll let Joe talk about because he had a mural done himself at Centennial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Baba. And I think what's powerful is that, yeah, we got to make a distinction. First and foremost, even distinguishing what the purpose of the art is, you know, because the gangster culture here in Los Angeles, we see graffiti all the time, and all of it is not art. All of it is not art. Some of it is y'all are writing your names on walls and on buildings that don't necessarily belong to you. And we could call it an aspect of the tribal culture, but that's not necessarily art, but that is a part of hip hop. It is a part of the modality of graffiti. And so it is within that. So we have to kind of be able to take, and this is the point of the Street Sankofa, take what works and leave what doesn't.
Well, don't you think that hip hop borrowed came after? After the gang culture,
Say that again, that hip hop culture came after the gang culture?
The music hip hop. I mean, what are you talking about in this? 50 years, gang's been around and doing. I remember when the Crips first came out. We're talking about in the 60s, I mean
Right.
68, 69, and
Yeah.
I remember before that, there was the Huns, the Orientals, and Watts, the Farmers, the
Right.
Jumping Gypsies, and all of that. And they all had symbolism to
Right.
represent who they are. Even motorcycle gangs wore jackets with
Right,
symbolism.
the symbols.
So
Yeah.
I'm saying is that what hip hop was doing was singing about that culture, about the streets, about that. But
Right.
but it didn't. I think hip hop started after.
Yeah,
Hip hop is about the gang culture and singing about the street culture and street life. One more question though.
yeah.
I wouldn't call it. I have problems calling it a culture. See, to me, cult, a cult is who believe in it.
Right.
So is what you believe in.
Yeah.
Jesus is the cult. Christians are a cult. And so my point is that
Say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Jesus is a cult. I mean, the cult. That's what the people believe in.
Right.
Okay. Christians are a cult.
Ah, got
Okay.
you.
You say they're the ones that believe in it. Whether
Yes.
you believe in it or not, to them, it's
Right.
real.
Right.
You understand? See,
Right.
but my point is that where is the deity or the somewhere. All cultures are created, like all religions are created by people. All gods are created by people. Gods don't create people. People create God.
There you go. Yeah.
Culture don't. People don't. A culture don't create people. People create culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So my point is that, I need to find out what. Hip hop is so wide and so big, and in different languages, different signs. If you go to China, and Japan, and try to understand their language and what they're writing and what they're flashing on their signs and stuff, it's very difficult if you don't know
Yeah.
the language. Because all people have participated in graffiti art. All over
Absolutely.
the world. But anyway, I'll let somebody else talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I guess I want to answer your question. You know, the what I how I define hip hop culture and what makes it a culture is it's what we do. Culture to me is your okay, let me say this first. As I study and I understand spirituality in West African society specifically, there was no word of re for religion. That wasn't a word. You don't have a religion. You have a way of life, right? And that way of life definitely is an expression of first your understanding, your cosmic understanding, your understanding of yourself in terms of spirituality and your understanding of yourself in the earth and your understanding of yourself in community and relationship to self, right? So there's a moment where we do recognize that most of what we do as ritual, what most of what we do in terms of our everyday nuances are based on our understanding of ourselves as cosmic beings, as spiritual beings. So for instance, your culture might be that every morning you wake up and you say a prayer. Well, for me, the way that I define culture is hip hop becomes our behavior. It becomes the ritual of what we do every day. So
That's
if
right.
in hip hop, yeah. So in, if in, if for me as hip hop, if I say a part of my culture is I see the mainstream society expecting me to dress in a suit and tie. The way that I express myself as a hip hop person or a hip hop cultured person is that I might wear my suit and tie, but I'm a hip hop it. I'm gonna put on some Chuck Taylors as my shoes, as opposed to those Stacy Adams hard bottoms, right? I might put on those Michael Jordan shoes with my suit and tie and my tuxedo. One of my favorite examples of this is Spike Lee, because Spike Lee always would hip hop his outfit if he was at the Grammys or at the, Oscars or any major platform where society is telling you this is the conforming nature, this is the formal behavior. But in this moment, we're making it hip hop. And so we're not doing the things that the traditional culture is doing. And so what I really think about when I think about hip hop culture is how we show up. It's how we talk. It's the cadence in my voice. It's the references that I use when I'm trying to get you to understand something. I might make reference to a hip hop song or something that's within the culture, like a movie or some other kind of reference, right? So hip hop, in the words of my dear brother, Dr. Minister Server, he says hip hop is not something that we listen to. Hip hop is something you live. It's something that you do. You feel what I'm saying? So that's what to me makes it a culture. Because when I want to express myself, I think of the elements of hip hop and I find those as modalities that suit me and I take advantage of them. And so we can get into a debate about culture because within the hip hop sphere, there is no deity. You are the deity. This is why we have the knowledge of self element. And if you really think about the history of hip hop, there's a real wave of folks that were into the Nation of Gods and Earths. There's a real science of numerology that's even described in a lot of the music. When you listen to the Wu-Tang Clan, you see them refer to themselves as gods, and they do the math of the day. And they have a religion or they have a spirituality that's really based in themselves. And so I dare say, if I were to argue of or at least explore potential deities that are indicative of hip hop culture, I would say it's the person themselves, that we are the deity, not something maybe outside of us, but we are the gods and we are the earths.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I have no problem with that. When you explain it like that, it's consistent with that people created, and
Yeah, people created.
they can define it any kind of way they want,
Absolutely.
but they have to deal with the critiques and the challenges,
Absolutely.
and they have to
Yeah.
be able to sustain. Okay.
I love it. Yeah.
Hey, you feel what I'm saying? That's hip hop.
It's hip hop. There you go,
The
Roger King.
language.
You feel me? You figure deal me? That's right. And you're working with them young people. So you
Hey.
get a very interesting version of the culture right now, because each generation, now that we have had 50 years, each generation has their own version of hip hop. So what I do from my era may not be what these young people do right now. It's a different flavor. It's a different mode of expression, but it's the same consistency of we know that if we root ourselves in this genre, in this culture, that we can still find voice. And that's the beautiful thing about what connects us as intergenerationally.
Yeah, you. I don't know if you're familiar with this, and a lot of people are doing this now. When I call somebody, they say, "What happened?" I'm like, "I'm calling you. What do you mean, what happened? I don't know what happened."
Right.
But that's
That's
that's a
funny.
new way of saying, that's a response. It's like, "What do you want?"
Right.
Or "May I help you?" They say, "What happened?" I'm like, "What
What's
are you
happening?
talking
Yeah.
about?" So,
Yeah.
the language change, and it's so many
Right.
things that just
Right.
throws me off, but I know what they talked about, but I mess with them every time. Like,
Yeah.
you tell me what happened. I don't know.
Right. I love
But
that. I love that.
let me go to Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm old school, so
Come on, old school. Yeah, come on with it.
I ain't with it. I don't understand it. Few songs I've heard, too, most part, I don't have an ear for it. Number one, and
Yeah.
I'm what they think.
Hey, Joe.
Let me.
Joe, what about the graffiti art?
Hold on, hold on. Let me ask him this before you go there, Roger Key.
Go
Do
ahead. All right.
you have a palette for artists like The Last Poets? You have a palette for that? Is that up your repertoire of art?
Original LOGs, yeah. Last Poets.
Okay. So if you can listen to The Last Poets, if you can listen to Gil Scott-Heron,
That's my boy.
come on. These are our, what I call our founding fathers of hip hop culture. We take from them, quite literally. The first time I heard, and can I cuss on this platform? Because this is our show. We do what we want to do, right?
Well, yeah, but
Keep it
we go
clean. Keep it clean.
go ahead
Well,
with
y'all
one
know
or
I'm the
two.
last poet.
Hey, one or two, one or two.
One and two. Okay, I'm gonna drop just one. I'm gonna drop this one. I'm gonna make it count. When the last poets have that one poem, niggas is scared of revolution. Y'all know the poem that I'm talking about. And they drop that N-bomb, every other line in that poem. And I remember the first time that I heard it. This to me is why I give them the crown of saying, y'all are the forefathers of hip hop culture. Because for that generation, they were the ones that your parents didn't want you listening to. That Last Poet stuff, you had to hide that, right? You couldn't openly listening to things like that because it was so avant-garde and so provocative. If you have a palate for that, what I want you to consider is that we're just an extension of that same type of music. We're literally just an extension of that same type of voice and audacity and boldness. Now, obviously, over the 50 years, it has transformed. It has grown. But at the origin of hip hop culture is we literally, the baton was handed down to us by people like The Last Poets and Gil Scott-Heron. So I just want to throw that out there because I feel you. You may not be able to hear the rap music, but I want you to see how the rap music is connected to things that you are familiar with so that you can have maybe, I don't get it. But I can appreciate it.
Okay, I can live with that. But Jig, I can understand what they're saying. Like,
Right.
ain't no thing but a Superman and must be something we can do and all
Come
of
on. Come
that.
on. Yeah. It's a vibe. It's really a vibe. It's the same, what am I trying to say? It's the same intention in a way. You know, using music, using bold messaging, using bold language to get people's attention, to let them know, hey, we here, and this is what we have to say. Now that I have your attention, let me express myself. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on graffiti and vandalism? I know how you feel about the music. How do you feel about the art of graffiti?
I kind of side with Brother Raw. I can see some mural stuff, but this drawing or whatever on other people's property, I ain't with that. And
Yeah.
I see a lot of these people running when the police come and like that those buildings downtown.
Of course.
Don't see no brothers in that hardly. Look like they let mostly Latino to lead.
Latinos. Yeah, which is so interesting because in Los Angeles, I want to give a shout out to our brown brothers because I don't see any competition with our brown brothers and sisters. I don't see the competition. And I know that there have been some very real anti-black and very real racist things that have been tra that have transpired in the city of Los Angeles when it comes to black and brown relations. But in terms of the heart of who we are as people, we are cousins through colonization, okay? And so many other things that attach us together. And you know, one of the pieces that I really love is Ivan Van Sertima's work. And being able to explore another woman named Dr. Toni, what's her name? What's her last name? I want to say her last name is, I don't want to misspeak her last name. I want to say is Bambara, but I could be wrong. But her name is Dr. Toni. She's out of Cal Poly. These people have done the work of showing you that the Africans were absolutely in South America and Mexico. Her name is Toni Humber, excuse me. in South America j way longer than the slave ships ever arrived on those shores. What am I saying? I'm saying that our Latino brothers and sisters have kept the culture and hip hop in some elements alive and strong, especially in the city of Los Angeles. The graffiti artists, many of them are Latino. Even the car culture, the low riders and the tricked up and souped up cars. You know, there are many of our brown brothers and sisters that keep that culture alive. And so, to your point, you know, I think what's interesting is that we don't teach our children to value hip hop culture, but others will see the value in it, and they will absolutely take advantage of the value of it. And I think a part of what our job is to reintroduce our community to these modalities because they belong to us. And when we do them, we express ourselves in a very, very healing and very transformative way. But yeah, to your point, a lot of these graffiti artists now are not black. A lot of them are Latino.
Hold on. So I mean, it's there. I'm not with it. I really don't pay attention to it. I just focus in my area, and like I say, I stay in my lane, and which is the historical thing. And I know all you were talking about, Van Sertima and all of those folks that did the work about the African exploration and what they call a new world, but it wasn't new to
Yeah.
them. Really
Right. Right.
did. And building, showing these natives once they came on the scene about how to build cities and all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Massey Musa's coming, and just us around the world. We were talking about l last night on the show. I was bringing up the Twa and how, they were
Yeah.
all lands everywhere. And so,
I
but
love
anyway.
that.
I would like to say this: the ancient art or graffiti, if you will, seems like it was more of a message. I don't see a lot of message in this. I see a lot of names, which I don't even.
Yeah.
It seemed like the person's street name, the one who did the art, seems like to me. But I
Right.
love to see some messaging behind it, like the mural that I created at Centennial, which is a
Okay.
Egyptian pyramid with an African pyramid. I mean, a South American pyramid with an African pyramid, black and brown.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
With the heroines on each side, on the side of the pyramid, like Quetzalcoatl, Olmec Head, Tahuti, all these people I have, Imhotep, all these folks I have on the various. Trying to bring peace to the campus, and that thing must be close to being 20 years old now. Yeah, that I did it. Well, I had it done.
Powerful.
As a matter of fact, your boy, Kendrick Lamar was one of my students, and I don't understand what he's saying. Yeah, he was
On, give him a chance. Maybe you should go back. Maybe you should go back and you know, now they have what's called lyric videos, and you
Okay.
can literally watch the lyrics go on the page while you're listening to the music. And that's why I say, and that's why I kind of tease my OGs, because it just really is a matter of musical preference too. You know what I mean? I don't know if always it's just a style that, you know, it's like when you raised up on jazz, you listen to jazz and that's your vibe. You know what I mean? That's what you're familiar with. That's what you find entertaining, and that's what you enjoy. You know, and so some of the hip hop is just not y'all's music. It's just not your flavor. But the sentiment of it, you know, the expression of it, you know, I think we can all agree of some things that we can acknowledge that this is yet another form of expression that we are familiar with in the black community. And that's all of us using music in whatever genre and whatever era we were part of. You know, because our blues, you know, our great great grandparents that were listening to blues, you know, may not appreciate a rock and roll, right? That might have been like, oh my God, this is like rebel music. You know, you guys are, I remember watching a documentary on Little Richard, and he's beating on the piano and screaming, "Good golly, Miss Molly, oh my goodness." You know, people didn't necessarily like that, you know? And so it's just another iteration of the voice of the youth. What is the platform that the youth is using? And I think what's interesting is that in the documentary, or the mini doc that we just watched about graffiti art, graffiti has lasted for so long. that it has to be given the crown, or at least the consideration of saying this is a formidable form of art, because look at its endurance. Look at how long people have used it and continue to use it as if it never missed a beat, you know, it never missed a beat. Now, obviously, the people have changed, but the art has not. The art is not. The style, the flavor of graffiti has definitely withstood the test of time.
Okay, excellent. Can we get Brother Machinda here? Brother Machinda?
Yeah, I'm here. What's happening? So,
What's happening?
yeah.
You just started something,
Well,
Roger.
hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I grew up listening to hip hop. When it, I guess when it hit the West Coast, well, not just the West Coast, East Coast, because that's what we were listening to first, really. And so I look at that. The graffiti and the tagging, all that, I know they did a lot. They do a lot of that on the East Coast, and the Hispanics on this in the West Coast, that's all I used to see. Of course, what we call graffiti in the black neighborhood, like Professor Ra was talking about, gang affiliations, everybody's. It's all a form of expression. Some of it's low level expression, it'll be it's their expression, but still low level because their mind is not developed. So they're operating on another frequency. So I guess the goal is to try to ascend to a higher plane, of thinking, so, you're tagging a fence, somebody, spent, $3,000 for a fence or something on, in the yard, and somebody come by and put, a gang affiliation or a moniker or something,
Right,
I mean, to me, that's, that's vandalism. I mean, it's, and even tagging trains and buildings, that's like against the law, but of course we can talk about the law and being rebellious and all that too. But, the bottom line is I wouldn't, like if I, my son coming up or my nephews, if if they were going leaving the house and they had spray cans in their hand, I'm gonna check them at the door. What are you doing? You can't do that. And, so I can't uphold that. But at the same time, I think like Brother Ross said, there's a thin line in a lot of this in terms of just how we feel. Because when you brought up in it, and I think you just have to be brought up in it. Like you say, in that era, and then you it becomes of you, and it's kind of like you got it honestly, you're it's part of your yeah it's part of your way of life, or what, music lyrically, you're listening to certain things, whether it's KRS-One or Eazy-E, we were listening to it all. But when I got older and I went to another frequency and I was young, going, Public Enemy, KRS-One, they were like they were at the forefront of me, because if and then even like you listen to Jay-Z, people say they like to they if what was that, The Story of OJ. If you listen to that song, if you look at the video Story of OJ, so this is it's educational. And
That's that
so
Nina Simone sample in that song, The Story of
hey,
OJ.
I love Nina Simone.
That's a great song.
But that's the, but I had one of my nephews, well, he's younger than me, he's probably he's 20 years younger than me, so but he's getting up there, but he's still, I call him a youngster. I sat him down and had him look at The Story of OJ, and I pretty much broke it down for him, because he didn't you can look at a video and not understand what they're talking about because you don't understand the terminology, you don't you're not you, and so you have to get down to the jargon, you got to break it down. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of education in hip in rap music. There's a lot, we mentioned Kendrick Lamar, or we can name a bunch of artists, but at the end of the day, I can appreciate that personally. And I use it sometime, it's but I think like they say, we're not monolithic, so there's different types. I'm here, I'm down south right now. So that you have a down south, you got a and they got different types of music and styles and modalities and different things. So at the end of the day, it's like what you raised up around and what you listen to and what you, if you're from Baton Rouge or New Orleans, you repping the guys that's from there, you know, if you're
That's
from
right. That's
Chicago.
right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is some positivity in it. I can't deny that it is, you know,
Yeah.
but back to the but vandalism versus graffiti. Man, I always said, I wish I could draw like that, you know, when I see certain things.
Right.
And it's, you know, in a lot of it, I've seen a lot of beautiful art, especially like on trains. And I think people are just, it's just an expression. But if it's now the matter of it's right or wrong, that's the question, you know. So, like I
Right.
say, I'm checking you at the door if you're walking out here with a spray can. You know, I can't, you know, I'm not allowing you to express yourself like that, but they'll find a way to do it anyway if that's what they do, you know. So,
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
know. But I don't want to sound perplexed about it, but you know, I didn't do it. I didn't write on any walls, you know, because, you know, I was like, hey, I can't do that. And then growing up in a neighborhood where you saw, you know, they had gang violence and things like that, it was
Right.
like territorial. And then you get older and you hear the old saying that, man, they writing on pro they tearing up property that ain't even theirs, or they claiming territory that they don't even own, you know.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, so we're talking gangs, but gangs are part of that hip hop culture as well. That's just like say they
Yeah.
operate on the lower level, lower frequency. That's all, you know, the ones that's out
Yeah.
there killing each other, acting up. So anyway, we're trying to just make sense out of it all, and trying to get the ones that are operating at a low frequency to up their game, you know. So if
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I appreciate you, because whether it's good or bad or indifferent, somebody has to be amongst, you know, the natives. You got to be amongst the current, you know. So you, what you're doing is, hey, you like Michael Eric Dyson, you know, he teaches Tupac at the university, you know.
Right,
He, yeah, you know. So it's like, hey, it's for a reason, you know. We gotta, it's all about communication. And so we can open up these lines of communication, you know, because you know, and put your gun, get them to put the guns down at the end of the day. That'll be beautiful. But I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And I love the commentary. And we might have to come on here another time and talk about the gang culture. You know, I use the terms, I try to change my vocabulary because we all know that power is in our words, you know? So I try to use the word tribe now because I've been really, I think I've been inspired by a brother named Robin DG Kelly. And he talks a lot about gangs and gang culture. And there's something to be said about, again, the history of gangs and what they started out as and what they look like now. You feel what I'm saying? And that could be another episode that maybe y'all will do that the next time I have the opportunity to come and break bread with y'all. Because even that needs to have understanding and context. You know, when we talk about the Six O's and you talk about a Nipsey Hussle having Slawson Boy written on his back. Well, as my Baba Ra said earlier, there was a time where these were the tribes that ran the streets of Los Angeles. And why they even are in existence is a conversation. How did they even get to that point of becoming the farmers and the Slawson Boys and the other names of these tribes that we know of? So that's a good conversation to have. Maybe we should come back and have that on another day.
We're gonna do it. As long as you want to, we're gonna do it. It's
Yeah,
good to get some
we should do that one
understanding.
next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is gangsta? We did an episode on that on the radio program, and that was a really good episode. What makes something gangsta? And I always tell people the most gangsta thing you could do is stand up in the face of oppression. Now that's gangsta. Now that's gangsta.
There you
Yeah.
go. There you go. So did you get a chance to talk about your show?
No, but I guess this is a great time to plug it. So you all know that, and I think you pulled it up earlier. I'm
It's right
privileged
here.
and
It's
very,
up now.
oh, there we go. There we go. I'm very privileged and honored to be a part of this amazing network of human beings. We are KPFK and we are listener supported. And so all of you who are on this Zoom with us, if you have people in your communities and your circles that are interested in listening to the voice of the people in addition to your platform, please encourage them to come on over to KPFK and check us out. We're online. And we're also on the FM dial. And so I'm privileged to be a part of two shows. The first show that I'm a part of and the longest show that I've been a part of is Cut to the Chase. with Sylvester Rivers. I'm his co-host. He's the captain of that ship. And we go live every Sunday at 11 o'clock, and that's on 90.7 FM KPFK. And then they've given me an opportunity. Shouts out to my sister, Tonda Sizwe Shimaranga. She's given me the opportunity. Hold on, somebody's bumping some music. Tonda Sizwe Shimaranga gave me the opportunity to talk on her platform on the first and second Thursdays of the month. And that's when I do the show Street Sankofa. So I encourage everybody to listen. I go live the first and the second Thursdays at 7 a.m. on 90.7 KPFK.
Hey,
Yep.
Sister Eva.
Yes.
Jill Sylvester, I said hello. I used to be on this show, The Family Tree.
Okay.
Years ago, years ago. Sylvester was out there for years.
Yeah, he's a real.
That's when we used to go off of Sepulveda, and
Yeah.
they had the studio there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've been on a couple of shows. I used to go to KPFK a long time ago, about a long time. So tell him I say hello. He'll remember
I definitely will. I know he does. Well, I don't forget nobody. We might need to have you on back
me.
soon. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely let him know.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. Professor Jai, would love to have you on here. So I'm glad you came again, and I'm gonna look forward to the next time we talk. We're gonna talk about gang culture. Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
we got to talk about it. I
Oh
think
yeah,
that's great.
Emma.
That's a great one.
Joe.
Yeah, I had a question. Last night we were on the show. This brother was talking about this guy, Benny Carson, who put
Yeah.
a lot of work. Well, I tried to Google him. The only one I get is the surgeon. So is
Funny.
anybody got up?
He's
Billy
on
Carson.
Billy Carson.
Billy Carson.
Okay. Gotcha. And I remember KPFK when they used to have the Mental Liberation Weekends, the first weekend of Black History Month.
Wow. Nice. Nice. Well, we only survive because of the people. As long as the people support the station, we are in motion. We are in motion. So I can't stress enough how much platforms like this, platforms like 90.7 KPFK, we really are relying on the community to support us. So tuning in and subscribing and donating, it literally does help to keep the lights on and keep the platform a viable space for us to be able to come on. Yeah, so can certainly think about, if you guys can spread the word. It's definitely a space for all of us.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, thanks for everybody for coming out this evening. Next week,
Yeah, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
we have guest host, Dr. Sherry Randolph, and her guest is Jason Sims, and the topic is health and fitness plus nutrition. That's
All right.
another good subject that we can learn from other people about. It's always good to have health and wealth. I mean, health and nutrition and all of those subjects on here. Okay, so
Yeah, absolutely.
we're gonna take our pause. Thanks again,
All
Professor
right.
Jay.
Just keep
Thank you, everyone.
And next week, Professor Rob, we got
Strong.
Dr. Terry Strong coming on. I think she's going to be talking about on Conscious Corner. He has a new book out. So hopefully we get to hear about that new book. So we're going to take our pause. Everybody have a good evening.